We have a distinguished guest in our studio today. He is 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. And Congressman, it's good to see you. Normally I talk to you on the phone. It's great to see you in person.
Well, it's good to be here.
Hey, good news first. A Chinese-based solar panel manufacturing company will officially cut the ribbon today at its facility out near the airport, marking the company's grand opening. Don, talk about the company's prospects for success and the importance of developing so-called green jobs in this area.
Well, Ken, first of all, I think it's great that any company from any country sees fit to come in and create an opportunity for jobs. As some people are upset because it's a Chinese company, but hey, if they want to come in and they want to hire our people and the wages are paid to local people, which they will be, it's better than not having them come here or exporting from China to the United States or setting up somewhere else in the United States. So, you know, anytime there's any type of economic activity, it's good because it highlights what Rockford's doing. Second of all is that the so-called green economy was not invented by members of Congress. I just sit back and I chuckle when I hear congressmen talking about, you know, we've got to start the green revolution. And in fact, I heard the president saying yesterday, you know, this will create 800,000 jobs. If you take a look at what people are doing, have been doing, working on environmental issues in Rockford for years. But just take a look at what's going on around here. Aqua Aerobics, Bob Wimmer over there, leads the world in filters and filtration for waters, water systems, clean water systems. Danfoss, which is a Danish company up on the tollway, has 300 to 400 employees, worldwide leader in measuring the exact amount of electricity that you need to go into a machine tool or another product. All World Manufacturing over in Harvard, worldwide leader in supplying air to hydraulics on an as-per basis as opposed to continually filling the tank. That saves about 80% in energy. Bergstrom Manufacturing, worldwide leader in a little box that goes into semi-trucks that instead of the semi-driver having to run the engine all night for cooling or heating, the battery pack does that. Anytime you have manufacturers who are on the cutting edge, that's called productivity. And a big part of productivity, obviously, is making the product, not only making the product with less energy, but also making a product that saves energy.
Our airport has been very productive in the last 10 years, thanks to the leadership of the airport board and also of Bob O'Brien. But you and Senator Dick Durbin have worked in a bipartisan...
It has been a tandem job, yeah.
Yeah, and frankly, it's what representative government should be about, a Democrat and a Republican working together to develop an important asset. Congressman, talk about... what additional growth is possible at RFD in terms of commercial and cargo, and how important that that facility is to the future growth of this region?
The last time I talked to Bob O'Brien, I think the Rockford Airport was number 17 in cargo freight activity. And in terms of capacity and the ability to attract planes that have been landing in Chicago, we've been working with the airport board, Mike Dunn when he was there, and obviously Bob O'Brien, and actually came up with asked Bob, said, Bob, would you do a little diagram or something to show how much you can save by landing in Rockford as opposed to Chicago? And we've showed that little demonstration to, gosh, the governments of China, Singapore, Japan, Korea, in our Washington context, because I'm the leading Republican, or the senior Republican on the Foreign Affairs Committee on Asians, we know those people. And then, of course, Bob and the board have been doing an excellent job marketing. And it looks really neat because what we've shown is that the landing fees are cheaper, the taxing is almost immediate, that you can unload in Rockford, put it on trucks, and get it to destinations even close to O'Hare faster than loading at O'Hare. But Dick Durbin and I have, and actually we served a couple terms together before we went to the Senate, and I started working on the airport issues before Durbin went to the Senate. Once he got in the Senate, we knew we had a friend there who with whom we could work. And it's been a tandem team working on that airport, the courthouse. Our office calls him on a continuous basis, and now we're working together on taking Governor Quinn's declaration for a disaster to hopefully get the president to agree to it.
Speaking of the federal courthouse, when is that expected to open?
I think sometime in December or January. No one's quite sure.
Okay. Our guest, by the way, is Congressman Don Manzullo. Our phone number is 815-874-8255. Should you have any questions or comments for our congressman from the 16th District, take advantage. We have some open phone lines, 815-874-8255. Katie, you're on WNTA with 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Thank you. Well, I have two quick comments. First of all, I'd like to see Congress, and I'd like to see you start it. We have to eliminate this anchor baby stuff. This is ridiculous. I mean, it makes me so angry when I hear, I have six adult children, when I hear that they want to raise the age on Social Security and all this, and we don't have money for this, and we're just now cut back on food stamps for the hungry and that. And then these illegals come into this country, have a baby, and we're responsible for that child till it's 18, and it gets food stamps and a medical card and all that. I do a lot of fundraising, and the stories that I hear that people that were born in this country, paid taxes, have hit hard times, can't get help. So, you know, we really need to do something about that. And we're the only country in the world that if someone comes from another country legally or illegally, that child's an American citizen. And this really needs to be changed. And I hope you do something about it. And keep up the good work, Don.
I appreciate that.
Do you agree that needs to be changed?
Well, one out of 12 people born in the United States is born of illegal parents, parents who are here illegally. That's a pretty big figure on it. And we need to fix the thing. I don't know how you would change the Constitution to fix it, because I've heard both arguments as the original intent that went into the 14th Amendment on it. But there's never really been any effort to secure the borders. That's the problem. If you keep the illegals out in the first place, then you won't have that high birth rate taking place here. And so that's what we have to concentrate. And then when we passed the welfare reform bill, which President Clinton signed, it made giving aid, with the exception of educational opportunities and going into an emergency room for an emergency, not available to people who were here illegally.
Does it make, on the surface, though, does it make sense to allow anybody born in this country, even if their parents are not legal citizens, to be
sense.
A citizen?
I read an article in the Washington Post about 3 weeks ago where there's a cottage industry of having people come from China to somewhere on the West Coast to stay for 4, 5, 6 weeks. The child is born here, automatically becomes a citizen. Then they go back to China again, so that child ends up with dual citizenship. And the reason they do that is so it makes it easier to get into schools in America. And if you have a California birth certificate, that child will probably qualify for in-state tuition.
Our guest is Congressman Don Manzullo. Our number is 874-8255. Reggie, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. Reggie, thank you for your call.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, Reggie.
I have a question, Congressman.
Mm-hmm.
If we can do electronic medical records, which is mandated by the president, why don't we do it with welfare services so we know exactly what everybody's getting? You know, if they have a parent of one of the children that dies, they get Social Security, they get free housing, they get link cards. We don't know what all these people are getting. I think we'd be surprised cumulatively what some of these people are getting, and we need to start rationing that and controlling that. Is that a law that you'd be willing to propose?
Well, but what I'd like to do, Reggie, is to take a look at exactly what's out there and who's trying to do that, and then get back to you. If you could be so kind as to, after our conversation ends here, leave us your contact information. And then we'll check to see what's going on or what should be going on, and then get back to you on it. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Reggie,
thank you,
okay,
Reggie.
Hang on, okay? And Tim will take some contact information from you, and we'll pass it along to the congressman.
That's a great idea. One of the things that we have found, Ken, is in all these programs, some people just milk them. And I mean really big time. You've been in the store and see the abuse of food stamps, et cetera, on it. And Reggie's right on there. I mean, if someone has died, there should be some type of a computer bank that kicks that up and says, you know, this person is no longer available.
Congressman Don Manzo.
They're no longer available for food stamps. Obviously, they're no longer available because they're dead.
Congressman Don Manzullo is our guest. Questions or comments, 815-874-8255. George, you're on WNTA with Congressman Don Manzullo. George, thank you for your call.
Oh, thank you for giving me on.
Hi, George.
Congressman, don't forget when you get back to Washington about the state pension system, people who are vested in those pension systems in drawing Social Security. Because as I understand it, if they have contributed to a state pension system and are fully vested and eligible to draw a benefit otherwise, under current law, they're not even going to get their money back.
Yeah, you're talking about the offset?
Yeah.
Yeah, that stinks. The if a person pays into Social Security, that person is entitled to draw the benefits of Social Security. I've been on that bill, and in fact, Barney Frank came up with a bill several years ago that I joined on. That would try to help that situation. This is a situation, for example, where a fireman or a school teacher will pay into their own pension system, but they'll also concomitantly have a job that's totally outside the government. Many pay maximum amounts into the Social Security system, and in those situations, Georgie, you get hit, what, with an 80% reduction in Social Security?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's just totally unfair.
That's my belief. Anything you can do to change that, be most appreciated.
I'm on the bill on that, you bet.
Thank you, George. Thank you.
Ken, we've been having these, we'll call them America Speaks Out, not a town hall meeting, hour and a half sessions. We've had, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them so far, all over the place. And we've got, I think, five more that are set. Could I give them?
Yeah, sure, folks? Please do.
And it lasts for an hour and a half, and this is where the people speak.
Okay.
I'll open it. Speak maybe about 3 minutes,
and then you listen.
Then we listen, and then most of the times I won't answer the questions until everybody who has had an opportunity to speak will have done that. And what we do is we take down suggestions, put them on a big grease board or a big sheet of paper, and we're working with our colleagues to come up with a new commitment to America, similar with the contract with America. And the very thing that Reggie called in on, that's the type of stuff that we put into the hopper with my colleagues, because that is really, I mean, it may sound simple, but Reggie's onto something big time. How do you coordinate welfare benefits to eliminate the cheating that's going on?
So where are your next appearances?
Let me see. Right here. August 18th, which is tomorrow. We'll be in Belvedere 1 to 2:30 at the Belvedere City Hall Council Chamber.
Okay.
And then Monday, August 23rd in Loves Park, 2:30 to 4 at the North Suburban Library on North 2nd Street. And same day, we'll be in Roscoe, 6 to 7:30 at the North Suburban Library there. And Tuesday, August 24th, we'll be in Rockford, 3 to 4:30 at the Rockford Public Library out on East 8th Street. The old Barnes & Noble. And then that same evening, we'll be in Byron, 7 to 8:30 at the Byron City Hall Community Room. And these are really kind of fun because they're really run by the people, and it's an opportunity for people to come in. I want to tell you, the suggestions that they have been given are absolutely, they're just stellar, absolutely stellar. One of them is that you can't vote on a piece of legislation unless it's an emergency. Until members of Congress have had the opportunity to read it.
What a concept.
What a concept. So you know what you're voting on, you know? But, you know, I try to read most major legislation, but these are the types of things that the people want because the people have been estranged from government, mostly because of their opposition to the health care bill and members of Congress voting against the will of the American people.
Okay, I know your time is limited, so let's get to the calls. Barb, thank you for calling. You're on with Don Manzullo. Hi, Barb.
Yeah.
Hi, Barb.
I tuned in late, but I don't know if you touched on this, but I'm interested in this 2010 inheritance tax bill or law that's going to run out this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Well, why are the Republicans opposing this? What's going on?
Well, it's the Democrats that are running both houses, and under the Constitution, revenue bills start in the House. We've been pleading and pleading with the Democratic leadership to extend the so-called Bush tax cuts, and so far they've done nothing. And that inheritance tax is going to come back with a vengeance, because after December 31st, someone dies, it's down to $1 million exclusion, and then the tax is somewhere between 40% and 50% on anything after that. That'll wipe out family farms and factories. So we've been trying to eliminate the death tax, and it's really into the hands of the Democrats at this point to come forth and say we're going to do it.
Well, I would think that this would, for the Republicans and Democrats would gain from this.
Well, we believe that.
A farmer, she's got farmland, a lot of it.
Absolutely. Yes. When I practiced law years ago, when the exclusion was very small, I had to sit there and advise the family that one of the two family farmers had to be sold to pay the federal death tax. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. That's the type of stuff that we're trying to end.